This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. This is Food for Thought with Carol, except Carol's not here today. She is on vacation. This is Tracy Gregoire filling in for her, and joining me today is Steve Freeman. And I neglected to say where you were from before, Steve. So Steve is from the New Hampshire Food Co-op.
Manchester Food Co-op. Yeah, you want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, let's do that.
So I don't know if I mentioned it, but we flew out our intended store manager, which is the closest we've come to getting the store open, is getting the general manager interviewed and then putting an offer together. So we're ready to make an offer next week to our what we hope will be our general manager. And then shortly following that will be an announcement of the location, which is what everyone who joined the co-op, it's $100, you're an owner. But for a couple of years now, it's just when and where.
Right.
That's all they, not even who's the manager or anything.
So have you thrown out possibilities, or is that
for
hush-hush?
Locations?
Yeah.
It's confidential only, not because we're a co-op, or it's just the nature of the business. Until we've inked the deal, somebody else can come in and buy up the property we're looking at, or you know, lease it from under us, sort of thing. So we're really close to the chest on our locations, and I've worked really hard, as that's one of my primary roles, to find sites that would work for us as opposed to sites that are on the market. So some of the things I've brought to the board have made it through sort of our approval process, but the public has no idea that this could even be a co-op. But we hopefully, by the time there's some snow on the ground, we'll be making an announcement that we've hired a manager and here's the store he's going to be operating.
Now, is it going to be like a full-size grocery store, like a big Hannaford or a Shaw's?
It's going to be a mini Market Basket.
Okay.
Because those stores run like 70 to 110,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Co-ops all over America, some are as small as like 1,200 square feet to about 15,000 square feet. The big one up in Hanover is, I think, pushing 14 or 16,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. But it's a full-service grocery store.
So it'd be like a size of Fresh Market or something like that.
Yeah, Fresh Market's okay. A good comparison. And you're not going to have an aisle of soda and an aisle of laundry detergent. We choose the best, healthiest products and safest and most environmentally friendly products. So we narrow down the choices so that you can make the best choices possible.
And does everything come from New Hampshire?
I wish.
Yeah, that would be nice, right?
Maybe before I die, everything will be in New Hampshire.
Or at least New England.
Well, they say if Trump becomes president, there'll be a lot more American economy. So
I heard that.
But yes, if we're developing our product mix now, and we're really aggressive, where we're about 60% New Hampshire sourced products on the shelves, 40% conventional. And that's what it is on paper right now. And it changes, just like we were talking about the beer. You know, it's harder to grow raspberries right now in New Hampshire. So we're not going to have raspberries available. So we'll be getting those from an organic farm in California or something like that. But the mission is to provide year-round access to locally based products year-round. Just like we call it an indoor farmer's market, 362 days a year. I think we're closed for a few holidays. But it's really exciting. It's been a long, healthy process. And it's, the board, we all looked at each other like, are we seriously sitting here talking to who might be our manager? We've come this far.
It's been such a long road.
Here it is. It is. And that's what it takes to get a co-op open.
Now,
so,
to be an owner, is it a flat one-time $100 or $100 a year?
It's $100 one-time purchase. And it's not you're not buying a membership. You're buying you're making a stock transaction with the business.
Mm-hmm.
So you're now a shareholder. You have a say. You have a vote. You're entitled to the profit of the store to share it.
Mm-hmm.
To the profit, most member owners always say, no, I don't want a dividend. I want the store to stay open, because it's much more tangible once you can walk through the doors and shop.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, it's a brochure, a T-shirt, and these bags we have, and people are like, so what's it going to be? At the end of the day, it's a grocery store that is committed to providing access to locally produced goods as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So you put your $100 in, that helps us get our store open.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't give us... you couldn't say, yeah, I'll shop there when it opens. We have to get that investment, and we have over 1,000 investors now, so that's the critical mass we've needed to get to the point where we can talk to banks, talk to a manager. Mm-hmm. We just received a $100,000 grant, which is remarkable.
Wow.
Like 40% of that is to pay a manager, 30% for store design. I figure what the other pieces are, but we're just like, and we paid a consultant to do that, a couple of $1,000, and we're very tight with our purse strings. We're like, this is worth it. We have a really good chance of getting this $100,000 grant. We hire the right people, mm-hmm. and we want it. So it's just pat on the back to the board of directors.
And who started this whole process?
It started as a college thesis at Southern New Hampshire University, and they have a couple of great economists over there. Chris Clamp, I think, is the main impetus behind this, a professor at Southern New Hampshire. And it sort of gained momentum as more than just a theory. Why doesn't Manchester have a co-op? Why do all these cute little towns right. around us have a co-op? We have a great diverse population in the city, a wide range of income levels and housing levels. So the co-op serves to be able to feed everyone and provide sustenance from any income level to any origin of birth, if you will.
Okay.
And if you've been to the farmers market in Manchester, there's a couple of local white folk and then a lot of immigrants that have learned how to farm. And it's an amazing eye-opening experience to see all this food. I'm like, you grew that in Dunbarton, New Hampshire? And that's an African pickled eggplant or whatever it is. And you talk to them and you get a sense of what they do and how they grow and where they've come from back in, you know, the homelands. They only knew how to live off the land. There was not grocery stores around the
exactly.
world like there is in America. So it's been great working with them, and we've opened the doors to a lot of relationships with local farmers and producers. And believe us, we can't wait to open the store and really knock the socks off the people who have invested and the people who will just stop in and shop because it's a grocery store that's open.
And then obviously that'll provide jobs for people as well.
It provides jobs that pay better than the other grocery stores, better
so
benefits.
So it just be minimum wage kind of thing?
It's most people who work at co-op spend their life working for the co-op because it's a fun place to work. Everyone is very knowledgeable about the product offering. They get paid well, they get treated well, they get great benefits. We have a lower carbon footprint than other grocery stores. We recycle as much as we can. The hot foods, just an incredible diverse. It's a great business plan, and there's hundreds of thousands of co-ops in the world of all different varieties, not just grocery stores. There's workforce co-ops. There's factory co-ops where, you know, it protects all the employees, gives them a better wage. Bob's Red Mill, for example, most people are familiar with his products. You see him all over the stores. He surprised all his employees a few years ago. He sold himself out of the business, retired, handed it over to all the employees. So all these employees that are factory workers working,
wow.
you know, grinding in the grinding mill, making flour, cleaning rice, making probably meager wages, they all overnight became owners.
Wow, that's huge.
Sales tripled. Product has grown, and everyone who works there owns the business. They're all a part owner, so you're more invested in
right.
making this thing work. And when you buy into it for $100, if you have a choice to go to a store that you own a piece of versus not, you're more likely to support a store
Absolutely.
That you bought into for $100.
Certainly.
And all this information, or most of it anyway, is at manchesterfood.coop. You can always join online. You can ask us questions online. You can order our merchandise online. So it's all there.
And all of that ordering the merchandise goes to getting the store started as well?
We make a small amount of profit on our merchandise, mm-hmm. And that helps give us fat in our bank account, which mm-hmm. only helps the bankers give us more money.
Certainly.
Yes.
So we are waiting for Donna from Delaware to call in. I just sent her a text, so hopefully
yes.
she'll be calling in. But while we're waiting on that, I wanted to talk a little bit about the food holiday, because we're not doing that at the top of the show because we're kicking it off right away. So I think this is funny. In fact, I think it's so strange that I thought, that's some random food holiday. It's probably not it. Let me go check another website. And it was. And then I went and checked another website, and it was. And I'm like, this is truly the national food holiday today. And it was the only one. Usually,
today is.
Today, yeah, well, the one I'm going to tell you
okay.
today. Today's food holiday. And normally there's two or three, or you go to different websites, and one website will say one thing and one will say the other. Every single website I went to said this was the food holiday. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
National Pizza with the Works Except Anchovies Day.
Seriously?
Seriously. How completely random is that?
Well, they've said they've made a holiday for just about everything.
Just
today.
About everything. National Pizza with the Works Except Anchovies Day. So,
what is it about anchovies people
I don't
are
know.
So offended by?
It must be a cult type following. Either you are in the cult that you love them or you are in the cult that you hate them. I'm in the group of people that's never tried them. Have you?
I'm in the group that dump them on that salad, please.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They're great little salty treats. Yes. And white anchovies are a little smoother, a little meatier, a little more expensive, but they're delicious.
So it's just a salty fish. That's it.
It's a
strong... Is it raw? Are they raw? Are they smoked? Or
you know, I honestly don't... No, they're not raw. They're, I think, like tuna fish. They're cooked in the can, typically, or the jar.
Okay.
But they're like a piece of chewing gum. They're very thin and flat. And
okay.
Some of them are rolled around Coopers.
Right. I am very... eager to try new things all the time. That's just something I don't think to try. I'm going to try anchovies soon.
Go to a nice restaurant, ask for a Caesar salad, and if they ask you for anchovies, say yes.
They've never asked.
That's the best place.
Well, I'm probably not going to nice enough restaurants. So I need to go to a nicer restaurant.
That could be it. Certainly a restaurant that offers tableside Caesars would ask you if you want anchovies.
Now, do you know what comes on a Works pizza minus the anchovies?
Well, you know, when you said that, I'm like, that's wide open because it depends on the restaurant. But let's say
it kind of does. But
cheese.
Yep.
Sauce.
Yep.
Mushrooms.
Not on the list, but you can get
okay.
Some Works probably do.
Pepperoni.
Yep.
Sausage. Did I say sausage? Peppers and onions.
Yep. Peppers and onions. Green pepper and onion.
And stuff.
Also a common one, Canadian bacon and black olives.
Okay.
Have to have black olives on the Works pizza.
All right.
So maybe people who don't like those, maybe steer away from, because I know some people are kind of on the fence, same as anchovies with about olives.
Oh, yeah.
People
and they're equally salty,
them.
Coincidentally.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
So it's, well, I don't think that's terribly salty.
Yeah.
That's all that anchovies are. That's not terribly
anchovies,
salty.
Anchovies, go ahead and try them and let me know what you think. They definitely, it's an acquired taste. They have a strong flavor.
Don't show up here next time you're here with a can of anchovies because I promise I'm going to try them.
I wouldn't say strong fish flavor. It's just a very unique flavor, but you know, you either love it or hate it, and it's fine in moderation. And they make anchovy paste and anchovy spreads on breads and stuff. I do have a sad story. I cooked a holiday dinner a few years ago, and I made a Caesar salad, and I used raw egg, I used lemon juice, garlic, and anchovies. And I've always made the salad to order, like I make it 10 minutes before the dinner's served. Well, on this day, I decided to make it a few hours earlier, and big mistake. And I don't know if it was the raw egg or the anchovies, but half of my family got sick, and I felt awful, and I said it had
Why?
To be
Why? Because
some...
was it sitting out?
Because it was sitting out at room temperature, and again, I don't know if it was the raw egg or the anchovies, but I think it was the anchovies.
Okay, so to me, well, so you could buy them, and they could be bad?
I suppose, like, it. I think of anchovies as tuna fish, same thing,
yeah.
It's a canned fish.
And do you slice them up to put them in the salad, or you just throw those bad boys on there?
Well, when I make a Caesar, I chop them all up, and I use the oil that it sits in into the salad.
Okay,
it's usually
so
sitting
you do
in
chop
olive
it up.
Oil.
Okay.
Yeah, I mince them up really small, so you don't really notice them. They're just kind of a hint of flavor in it. But if you really like them, you just lay them out flat, and you slice them up yourself.
Silly question.
Sure.
But... do they come with the heads and the tails on
no,
them?
No, it's just a fillet.
Okay, it's okay. I always think of anchovies, and I think there's a fish slapped
no,
across
your
pizza.
Those are sardines.
Pizza.
Sardines are little fishes in a can. Anchovies, just the meat.
Okay, so
and,
already
you know,
it's easier. No, you could bring some in. I'll try them on the
It'd
air
be
then.
A real interesting.
It's something about that head.
Yeah, no, not with anchovies. It'd be a great video to see how they're processed, actually, because they're tiny. So, and they're not, you know, they're expensive for a little can of fish, what they are. How do they make them? How do they process them? That's, I don't know.
Now, back to your Caesar salad. You lost me at the raw egg because a Caesar salad to me is like, you know, all the nice fresh ingredients and then Caesar dressing out of the jar.
Wrong.
So tell me, I didn't know ideas. Raw eggs?
I have friends I've taught this. It's a classic traditional, I actually think Caesar was a Mexican invention. I've not researched it, but it was Cesar, a guy named Cesar who invented it, I guess. So I have friends who send me pictures of their Caesar salad when they make it because they're proud of it. It's the recipe that I found. So it's raw egg yolk, garlic, fresh.
Just the yolk.
Just the yolk, not the white.
Oh, okay.
Just raw egg yolk, one egg yolk, two or three cloves of garlic minced up, one can of anchovies in oil, chopped up with the oil, one lemon squeezed, a big fat wad of fresh shaved Parmesan cheese.
Mm, you had me at cheese.
And one head of romaine.
Huh.
And a dash of Worcestershire and Tabasco, and some people like a little Dijon mustard in there.
See, I had no idea what a Caesar salad
really
dressing
simple.
Really is.
It's really simple and fresh, clean romaine lettuce. And croutons if you're loving gluten or carb-friendly.
All right, I'm going to have to try that and be a little adventurous.
And it's a very easy recipe. You just throw the egg in there, the chopped up anchovies, garlic, lemon, mix it up. And always use your hands. That's
why?
A key. You use your hands to mix the lettuce in with the dressing, not tongs. Get in there and use your hands. It's good for your hands anyway. It's a good moisturizer, collagen builder. But you use your hands to coat every leaf of lettuce with the dressing.
Oh, all right.
But you can't bottle that dressing.
No, just like because I said, of the raw egg.
Got sick.
Yeah.
My bad. But you got to use it and eat it. Although I have made Caesar, refrigerated the leftovers.
I was going to say, you just put it in the fridge?
I've refrigerated not the dressing, but the salad coated with the dressing. Yeah. I've eaten it the next day or two, and I've had no issues.
And still
there.
Pretty crisp?
Yeah.
Or
not
it tends to get a little
crisp,
softer.
But yeah. But if you figure out the proportions, it's not drowning. It's just a light coating. It's perfect.
Well, we like to make chicken Caesar salad wraps a lot for dinner in our house. So I might have to try that. Instead of the jar, shame. So there isn't a food holiday this month. There's actually several, but I picked two of them. So National, and I love the names of these things. It's not just the food. They have to give it a fun name, right? So National Fun with Fondue Month. And I actually meant to talk about this while Michael Hubbley Pierce was here, because the recipe that I found is our craft beer cheese fondue.
Sounds delicious.
Yes. And it was a recipe that I found online at Kimberly Sneed is the person who came up with it. Her blog is a Night Owl blog. And it has garlic, craft beer, shredded gouda, shredded cheddar, cornstarch, pepper, nutmeg. And then so you mix all that, whatever you have to do with it to make fondue.
Sure.
And then the stuff she put in it was, of course, pieces of baguette. You got to have some nice bread with beer, right? Green apple, which I thought was interesting.
Green apple's a great medium to get fondue on.
Really?
Yeah, the tartness of the apple and the sweetness of the cheese is perfect.
And then veggies and or sausage. So nice little fondue, trying that with some craft beer.
I like it.
Totally forgot to mention that while I was here.
And fondue's actually gained in popularity in our lifetime. It used to be that thing that your parents did in the 70s.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Well, you know who, I'm sure it's not what made it, but one of the things that helped it around here is Unwind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't get the cheese fondue. I get the chocolate fondue with the marshmallows and the strawberries.
Their Chardonnay fondue is really delicious, though. And their bread, their croutons, are perfect.
I'll have
They're
to
just
try that
perfect
one next time.
Toasted, soft bread. He does a great job with his fondue.
It's like a great place to go with, well, for me, hang out with the girls and just get that as an appetizer, get a, appetizer or a dessert and wine, and it's just... I love that. In fact, I'm due to go. It's been a little while.
It's a very comfy place.
Yes,
I agree.
I love it. And then the other one I wrote down was National Peanut Butter Lovers Month. Not National Peanut Butter Month, but National Peanut Butter Lovers Month.
The whole month.
Yes. So if you're a peanut butter lover, this is your month, the month of November.
At the co-op, we will have grind your own peanut butter, almond butter, cashew butter.
No, sir.
Yeah. Yes.
I love that. I love almond butter.
So you can see what's going in your peanut butter is nothing but the peanuts.
So how do you do it? How do you... there's a machine there?
It's a machine. You push a button, fill up your tin. They've had those for years. I remember as a kid at Alexander's Supermarket. I was like, Mom, can we get this stuff?
I was just going to say, what a great place to take your kids and see just, because they just... Sometimes kids talking about how we used to make, our own foods and everything.
Sure.
Nobody sees that anymore. Very rarely. I think it's kind of making a comeback a little bit. But for kids to kind of see how things are made and what's really in it, that's...
And it's nothing when you do it, at the store. It's nothing but the nuts.
Right.
And it's most of them are very healthy for you. The oils, the proteins.
Yeah, and really isn't all the added sugar and all of that.
Molasses, corn syrup, fun chemicals.
So I want to talk a little bit about some happenings. You know, we talked about the snob, somewhat north of Boston Film Festival, that's going on this weekend. So we did chat about that already. You mentioned the
Distillery Showcase tonight. I think it's the third year. It's just really, it's a great event. There's a there's a lot of real top shelf bourbons, whiskeys, scotches there, and it's just a great. It's a great place to, instead of buying a, you know, an $80 bottle of whiskey or whatever, you just go and take a sip and see if you like it and then decide. And I don't think you can buy anything, but it's just a tasting.
So if you're a beer, beer geek, head to Concord.
Yeah.
If you're a liquor geek, stay here in Manchester or down to Manchester.
Yeah.
Also, we have it's actually Restaurant Week in Portsmouth on the seacoast, and so there's a lot of stuff going on. The website actually didn't print off on here, but I'm sure if you just Google Portsmouth Restaurant Week, Portsmouth on the Seacoast Restaurant Week, you'll get all kinds of information. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 13th, 14th, and 15th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day, and the you know, I apologize. That's a different one. The 20th annual New England Craft Fair is those days. I'll get to that one in a minute. The Seacoast says, it says Sunday, November 8th, but usually it's the whole week. So it's November 8th through
this
whole week. It probably ends this weekend.
Yeah.
So all kinds of restaurants involved. So go take a look at that. But the other one, 20th annual New England Craft and Specialty Food Fair is this Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
And where is that?
And that one is in Salem, which, my printings didn't come off very well.
That must be at an expo center or something.
It is at the Rockingham Park.
Plaza?
No, where the racetrack.
Oh, okay.
That's where it is.
Okay.
Yeah, so that stuff didn't print off. I'm not sure why. Here it is. $7 tickets for adults, 12 and under are free. And it's 79 Rockingham Park Boulevard in Salem. So there's all kinds of, you know, craft things, obviously, but there's a lot of different foods, honey products, dried fruits, candies, relishes, pickles, cinnamons, bread mixes. That's why we're here to talk about food. So
awesome.
We love those. So a few things going on. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to be on with Shelley Walcott. She's got she's always a surprise what she brings. I never know. So we're going to find out what she brought us today find out how she used her Healthy Solutions spice blends in yet another easy meal. So you're listening to Food for Thought on 107.7 with Tracy Gregoire and Steve Freeman filling in for Carol, who's on vacation, and we will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. You're listening to Food for Thought. I'm Tracy Gregoire, in for Carol, and Steve Freeman is in for me, right?
Yes, I am.
He is my gracious enough to be my co-host today, since Carol is on vacation. And real quick, I just want to say thank our sponsors. Food for Thought is brought to you by Star Dental at stardentalmanchester.com, 50 South Main Street in Manchester, really for a spa-like dental experience, the place is amazing, beautiful inside. Red Arrow Diners, Manchester Milford, and now open with drive-through in Londonderry, redarrowdiner.com. And New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. So we have two guests ready to go. So Shelley Walcott is in the studio and she brought us some food, but we're going to hold off on just a minute because Donna has called in and we would love to hear from Donna. Donna's Delights. Donna in Delaware. Hello, Donna. Are you there?
Hi. What y'all doing? You got Steve and Tracy. All right. And then you got Donna on the side. Okay. Is it raining up there?
It is. It's yucky today.
No, it's never yucky. It's just liquid sunshine. You know, put your rain boots on and have a ball. You hear me? Make some mud pies. It's all good.
Exactly.
It's liquid sunshine, you know, but this sugar right here melts in the rain, so I can't go on out there like that, you know. But anyway, so how's it? Everybody's good?
Yeah, we're doing good.
Good.
Okay.
I'm just happy it's not snowy and cold right now.
You get to make snow angels and some ice cream. Go ahead.
Exactly. Oh, well, y'all, see, I love your positivity.
Y'all got dirty snow, though? Oh, y'all got clean snow.
No, well, it starts out clean, but doesn't stay that way very long.
Our snow is local.
As long as the dog don't pee in it, you're good to go, right?
I have yellow spots all over my yard. Go make some snow angels, kids.
Go make some snow angels. Now, it ain't too cold, but it ain't too hot, and it's a good day to do. It's a good day to be alive, so look at it like that.
That's right.
So why don't you tell us what you got for us today, Donna?
All right, here we go. All right, everybody talk about the new Peanuts, the Charlie Brown movie, and everybody's excited about it. So I love Charlie Brown. I love the Peanuts and the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. I was able to get me a big old pumpkin last week at the supermarket for 50 cents, my kind of price. Oh, my. I can make all kinds of pumpkin pie. Not to mention, I can get down with the get down with roasting those seeds. But I'm not trying to be in Thanksgiving overload. Mm-hmm. Even though the store seemed to pass right by this feast and went straight for the juggler for Christmas, like a lion on a zebra's behind. It's a sin and a shame. Jingle bells before turkey legs? Say it. Anyway, what can I say? I want my pie in the sky with my grits and gizzard gravy before I have candy canes and eggnog. Call me insane. Yes, I got pumpkin on the brain. And my recipe of the week is winner, winner, pumpkin shells for dinner. Now, here's what you'll need to get your pre-Thanksgiving on Italian style. You'll need medium pasta shells. You'll need 1 pound of turkey, Italian sausage. You'll need a bag of spinach. Of course, I always wash it because we don't know what's going on with that bag, so you always wash your spinach. You'll need 1 cup of ricotta cheese, 1 cup of mozzarella, 3 cloves of garlic chopped. You'll need 1/4 teaspoon of allspice, and you'll need 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg. You'll need 1 8-ounce package of cream cheese. You're going to cut that into cubes. You'll need 1 cup of milk. You'll need 1/4 cup of Parmesan cheese. You'll need 1 stick of butter, melt it. You'll need 1 cup of pumpkins. You can use canned, but I have some fresh. You know, I'm all so F-R-E-S-H, fresh, fresh, fresh. All right. You'll need 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper and 1/4 teaspoon of salt. I also use 1 tablespoon of sugar. I know, liquid diabetes me, but I had to have my sugar in it. Also, this is what you're going to do. You're going to salt your water, and you're going to put your shells in. You're going to boil those shells until they're tender, about 10 minutes. Then you're going to drain and rinse with cold water. Then you're going to brown those sausage. I use some olive oil. And once they were done, I placed that in a bowl with some mozzarella, the ricotta, the spinach, garlic, the nutmeg, and I mixed well, and I sprinkled in my salt and pepper for taste. I stuffed my shells, and I placed my shells in a casserole dish, and I put a little olive oil at the bottom of the pan. Then I got out my ninja, because y'all know I'm a ninja girl, and I blended up the cream cheese, the milk, the Parmesan, the butter, the pumpkin, the allspice, the salt and pepper, and I mixed it and blended it well in my ninja. I poured it over my shelf, and I placed that in a preheated oven at 375 degrees, and I baked it for 35, maybe 40 minutes until that cheese was nice and melted. I also sprinkled an extra little bit of Parmesan on top because, you know me and cheese, more cheese, the more merrier. I took
Absolutely.
It out the oven, and I gave thanks because it was a winner, winner, pumpkin pre-Thanksgiving dinner with an extra side of can. You know me.
That sounds delicious.
It was, and I'm going to send you a picture because I made it today.
Please do.
And it smells. My house smells so amazing. So and what y'all eating? I heard y'all eating something.
Please tell me you didn't hear me chomping just now.
Yes, I did. You sound like you got a couple herds of cows in there. What you eating?
We have a Thanksgiving dinner roll up.
How y'all gonna have Thanksgiving without me?
It's in an egg roll, too. I can't wait to tell you about it. It's so good.
Turkeys, you hear me? And I'm going to tell you what you are. You're fried turkeys. That's that.
No, it's a tasty Tracy turkey.
Ooh, a tasty Tracy turkey with a side order of what? Can't.
Absolutely.
All right, y'all. Remember Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin. You remember when Linus wrote his letter. So here goes my letter. Dear Great Pumpkin, I'm looking forward to your arrival for dinner tonight. I hope that you're very tasty, just like my girl Tracy, because everybody tells me to forget about putting you on my plate. But I believe that you are the best and you are great. Sincerely, the Queen of King. P.S. If you don't taste good, Please remember, life is for living and food is for giving. And if you are not for real, please, I don't want to know.
Peace out.
Thank you, Donna. We love hearing from you.
You gotta love me because I'm here to stay. You hear me?
Yes,
don't tell me you no turkey and no gravy. You ain't put no gizzards in y'all's gravy, did y'all?
No.
Oh, good. Thank God, because that's a horrible thing. I know somebody who put gizzards in their gravy, and that was, stick a fork in me. I was done. I didn't want that. Well, anyway, y'all enjoy y'all's Thanksgiving dinner, but y'all can send Donna a plate down here, you know, because I like to get my Thanksgiving on, too. I'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
Bye, Donna. Bye. So on that note, we're going to move right into another delicious meal that we just tried. Shelly Walcott is in the house from Healthy Solutions Spice Blends. Hello, Shelly.
Hi.
We love having you. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I'm going to let you talk about what we just made, but we cheated. While Donna was telling us her wonderful recipe, we were tasting yours. We typically like to taste it like on the air, but technically we're on there. They heard me chewing, apparently. So please tell us what you brought for us and how you made it with a Healthy Solution Spice Blend.
Okay,
please.
I was glad you tasted them in advance because you really were my guinea pigs today.
I'm so lucky it was good.
That's right. We're all about Thanksgiving right now. So I always am looking for something to do with my leftovers. I am just so sick of turkey pot pie and the traditional turkey sandwich, although my family will tell you they'll never get sick of that turkey sandwich. So what I did is I took their favorite turkey sandwich and I put it in an egg roll wrapper. Okay, so it's got turkey. It's got cranberry sauce. It's got stuffing, Swiss cheese, and gravy. And I actually made it two ways. The one that you're tasting, I put into the food processor because I wanted them all to be about the same size. So I pulsed it just a few times just to make it more of a, so it looked more like a meatloaf mixture.
Okay. It's all the ingredients.
All the ingredients. And then you put a heaping tablespoon into an egg roll. You roll it up. And as you can see, they're not beautiful, but man, they taste good, don't they?
Oh my gosh. They taste so, I don't know what it is. Like all those ingredients that you just said, I don't think I could have told you that any of those ingredients were in that. It was just all the flavors together, and then in anything in an egg roll is just better immediately.
Yes. Yep.
Who would have thought to put all of that inside of an egg roll?
And then just to make it even better, I baked them instead of frying them. So the egg roll wrapper, and I actually didn't look it up until after I made them, but the egg roll wrapper itself has about 50 calories. If you fry it, you've now made it into a high calorie item. So this way, whatever you put in it, depending on what you like, we used last night, actually, we took whole cranberry sauce and mixed it into mayonnaise and used it as a dipping sauce because mayo is the only ingredient that's missing from the sandwich inside that. I just didn't want to cook it.
And normally I love, like when I have a turkey sandwich, I just load it up with mayonnaise. I just really do. I know it's horrible for me, but that's once a year I have my turkey sandwich and I put a ton of mayonnaise on it. I don't miss it. I don't miss it at all in there. It doesn't need it.
No, not at all.
Well, again, you know, I'm going to give credit to the spice blends here.
Yeah.
All right. When I made the stuffing,
What's the spice blend? I'm like, wait,
the most important part.
Yes, that's right. Okay, sorry about that.
Forgot who
I was
for a minute.
I use the pork and poultry rub.
Okay.
So this time of year, I'm using that on everything. You can make stuffing with it. So I buy the cornbread stuffing, actually the chopped cornbread, little diced up with that has no seasoning. And I add my own spice blend to it, the whole packet actually, to one bag of the Pepperidge Farm. The one that I used. And then I used chicken broth to give it a little extra flavor. Mm-hmm. You can add butter like the recipe says. I don't think that you need it.
No, I don't think so at all.
So again, you know I love food. You can look at me and see that I love food. But it is, I do try to cut back wherever I can. The pork and poultry blend is one of our no salt, no sugar blends. And I don't think that you miss any salt in
not
that
at all.
Not at all.
And
that's another
all.
Thing I love is I have way too much salt in my diet. I know I do. And a lot of times when I try something like that, I'm like, it's really good, but I wish it had some salt. It doesn't need it at all. It was really good. In fact, when we go to break here in a minute, I'm going to have another one. But you know, I was going to ask you, so you said you baked them, but they have a nice little golden, they look like they've been like browned in a pan.
Yeah.
The oven did that?
It did. Well, that in a cast iron pan. So I sprayed the cast iron pan with a little bit of olive oil spray.
Yeah.
And I put it in a 400-degree oven for about 15
Preheated
minutes.
Preheated it.
Yeah, and then I flipped them over so that they're a little bit crispy on both sides.
Okay.
And doing egg rolls is surprisingly easy to do. Right now, I'm trying really hard to make a video to put on our website so that you can see how easy it is to do. And you know how I always talk about being such a lazy cook. So normally, you know, the thought of rolling an egg roll is just way out of league for me. I just don't want to do it. They are so easy to do.
So I am a visual person, and I really want to make this. But just listening to you, it's hard to like picture the whole thing. So you need to make a video of this exact meal.
I will do this.
And post it. Maybe I can help you with that. Let's do that. And then I'll know how to make it because I've watched you.
That's right.
Because I want to make these.
It's really, really easy. I know when you talk about it, it seems like a lot. But if you just throw anything that you would put in a turkey sandwich. Actually, it could be a cheeseburger for all, you know. It doesn't really matter. It could be anything that you normally
and
have
then
in a sandwich.
Wrap it up.
Put it in an egg roll. Roll it up.
What makes the egg roll stick?
Water.
You
wet
it.
Each
one is soaked in water, right, when you make egg rolls?
I didn't soak them in water. You take your finger and you dip it in water, and you put it right around the
like
edge
an envelope
of the egg roll, and then it acts like glue.
It sticks to itself,
It's really, really simple.
I just learned something
We will make
there.
A video together.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and chat with you some more. I know you have some other Thanksgiving ideas. You are listening to Food for Thought. I'm Tracy Gregoire. We have Steve Freeman filling in for me. I'm filling in for Carol. And Shelley Walcott is in the house from Healthy Solutions Spice Blends. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. You're listening to Food for Thought. I'm Tracy Gregoire in for Carol, and Steve Freeman is in the house co-hosting with me today. We also have Shelley Walcott from Healthy Solutions Spice Blends that we're talking to. We just tried her yummy Thanksgiving leftover egg roll. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're going to call it?
Yeah, Thanksgiving egg roll.
Yeah, you got to throw the yummy in there because it's really yummy. So thank you very much. I just enjoyed another one during the break. It was so good.
I enjoyed three more. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit. I know you have maybe some other ideas of things that you can do for Thanksgiving since we're kind of coming up to that time frame with the spice blends.
So the nice thing about the spice blends is they're pretty versatile. So this year we're actually playing with, we normally use the pork and poultry rub that we use to make this to do a turkey. Very, very easy. You pat dry the outside of your turkey, you rub on some olive oil, and you sprinkle and press on the pork and poultry rub. It doesn't get easier than that. This year, we tried it with our lemon pepper scallops blend. Now, I know that sounds like
different.
It would be weird. There are no scallops in the blend. It's a blend of lemon peppers, and it is amazing on turkey.
I bet.
And all I did with that as well is prepare it exactly the same way. Some olive oil on the outside, you sprinkle and press on the blends. But then I took fresh lemons and stuck those in the cavity of the turkey rather than stuffing it and made the stuffing on the side.
That sounds good.
So I can't. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
Now, do you try something different every year? Do you have a tried and true? Obviously, you're not doing the tried and true this year, but do every year, is it a goal to find something newer and better?
It's a goal to find something newer and better for my customers. My family would kill me
if you changed it.
As a matter of fact, I'm hoping that none of them are listening because if they just heard that I was trying something different on them this Thanksgiving,
be like, no!
Yeah, they would not be happy at all. We have a very, very traditional Thanksgiving dinner. We all hurt afterwards from eating too much.
Don't we all? So I want to ask you one more question, but before I do, I actually left out a sponsor that I heard it during the break, and we need to mention Casey's Rib Shack as well. So famous Hickory Smoked award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue at 837 2nd Street in Manchester and online at ribshack.net. Love them over there, and Casey is a great guy. So I wanted to mention that. Now, we have just about 3 minutes or so left. I want to know... I know we've heard your story before, but it's been a while, so people probably can't. Tell me, I'm always inspired by your story and just, you know, being a woman-owned business as well as starting a business, whether woman or man, starting a business later on in life when you think it's never too late or it's too late to get started. So tell me just briefly kind of about how you got started and and your story.
Okay. So, let's see, 3 minutes or less.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now two, because I talked to him a minute.
Okay. Well, I am one of those people when you see my picture online, you'll see that I am not your average 20-year-old starting a business. I have wanted to have a business all of my life. I have always been all about food. I love to cook. My mother was an absolutely amazing cook. And she was, my mother died when I was 15 years old. And so during that time while she was sick, she used to yell from, not yell, but speak loudly from her bedroom upstairs so that I could prepare dinner so that it would be on the table at 6 o'clock when my father got home every night. Very, very traditional household. Everything was about food. But I went off to college and, spent the next 30 years working in corporate America. I was a quality engineer, so I was, people always said that was quite natural for me to get paid to complain. I'm really good at that. And then I got to a point where it just wasn't working anymore. You wake up one morning, your boss is the age of your youngest child, and you say, you know, I'm just not going to do this anymore. So
you just decided to give it a try and took a leap, and it's been, what, 2.5 years now?
Yep, almost 3 years. I have never worked harder in my life, but I have never been happier in my entire life.
I love that. It's so inspiring to me. I love that. Being somebody who just kind of started my own business about a year or so ago, that's inspiring, and I love to hear that. It's never too late to follow your dreams and try something new, right?
Absolutely.
You're a true testament to that. So, Shelley, thank you for bringing us this food. It was really great. Steve, thanks for filling in today. We love having you on and hearing about the Manchester Food Co-op. We are done for the day. Up next is Kel and Company, and he seems to have a guest in the green room in there too, so stick around and listen to him. We've been listening to Food for Thought. Have a wonderful day.